mean, this wouldn't be the first lessons learned process that we've had, to put it frankly. And look, what we've had since yesterday's verdict is just a little bit more information about the various agencies, authorities that were in touch with Sara Sharif and her family prior to her death, organisations that ostensibly exist to protect children precisely like her. I'm thinking about, you know, the local council, the police, the family courts. And yet it appears that time and again, opportunities to rescue her from harm were missed. And it recalls, doesn't it, a litany of similar cases. You know, I'm thinking about Victoria Climbier, which was, you know, 24 years ago now, or Baby P, another national shock. Or, you know, Star Hobson, Arthur Labinio Hughes. You know, these names go on and on and on, this sort of roll call of missed opportunities. And look, Number 10 have been clear that there are a few things that they're keen to do very soon that they say are going to help. So, for example, one of the things they mentioned today in a briefing with journalists was giving each child a sort of unique identifier, a kind of NHS-style number that would follow them around the system. And what that would allow think to happen is for data sharing to take place, to allow to make sure that children didn't fall through the gaps, so to speak. Also to really restrict the homeschooling of children. And one of the things that we know happened here is that Sara Sharif was taken out of school in the months prior to her death, in spite of teachers having raised concerns about bruising. You know, the government says it doesn't want that to be able to happen anymore. But, you know, these are all welcome things. But as you heard in Becky's report there, there are many, many more things that need to happen in order to ensure that, you know, well, let's put it this way, if they don't happen, we cannot be sure that Sara Sharif isn't just one more name added to that tragic list I read out a moment ago.